A new book looks at another impact of the oil and gas industry in Pennsylvania. Poet and reporter Eliza Griswold's nonfiction work, Amity and Prosperity, takes readers to rural Washington County, where Stacey Haney, a nurse and single mother, is living less than half a mile from fracking waste and drill cutting pits on a neighbor's property.
Stacey and her family contract mysterious illnesses, and they end up leaving their farm that had belonged to her great-grandfather, and she has to handle two mortgages as well as mounting doctor's bills as she tries to get her head around what's happening to her family.
Haney's son is diagnosed with arsenic poisoning. Animals on their farm get sick and die. The same animals Haney hoped to build a new barn for with the money from her own gas lease. Griswold spent over 7 years talking to neighbors in the community of Amity, gas executives, and the Department of Environmental Protection, among others, as Haney and eventually her lawyers try to get the drilling company to take responsibility for the air and water pollution near her home.
A theme that keeps cropping up in the book is this notion of the rights of the individual and the rights of the whole, or the commonwealth.
This whole idea of Pennsylvania as a commonwealth, like what are our commonly held assets? Well, our water and our air, and how Pennsylvanians have such a long history of wrestling with this issue, longer, I'd argue, than any other Americans. And that really dates back to the timber industry and a group of citizens rising up to say, you know, look at what timber has cost us. And they weren't saying, you know, let's keep all of these resources pristine. They said, no, we need to figure out prudent use for future generations. And so that long history of conservationism has led people to a heightened, plus that comes directly out of people's long experience with extractive industry. That double awareness has given people very sophisticated understandings of what the commons are, because they see them being affected all the day. If you've watched, you know, a coal company go bankrupt and abandon your town, and you've watched the slag heaps left behind that nobody can afford to remove, and you've seen both the social and economic impacts all at once, then you have a pretty good understanding of, hey, these costs are being left to us. Directly out of that experience, Pennsylvanians were able to come up with this remarkable environmental amendment, which is the right to clean air and pure water. And this environmental amendment has actually, over the past few years, gotten teeth for the very first time due to the work of some of the lawyers who've represented Stacey. John and Kendra Smith, along with others, have really done remarkable work in safeguarding the commons by protecting these individual rights at the same time.
The Smiths were instrumental in challenging the state's oil and gas law, Act 13. A Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling said the law violated people's right to protect their property. And you sort of relate in the book that Stacey Haney takes some solace, some pride in her testimony leading to that decision.
For Stacey, when the conservative Chief Justice, Ron Castile, finds in favor of protecting small towns, and he quotes her affidavit of her experience, she absolutely felt and continues to feel that her role in that case, after having her children, was the most important thing she's done as a human being.
As much as your book is her story, the story of a single mother speaking out for her home and her family's health, it's an indictment of Pennsylvania's Department of Environmental Protection. What are some of the details that you uncovered about how the department regulated and dealt with the oil and gas industry and people like Stacey Haney?
The harshest indictment I've seen of the DEP's failures comes from its own Inspector General report. To be fair, the DEP is woefully underfunded and understaffed.
The DEP was seen as very chummy with the oil and gas industry, and Stacey Haney and her neighbors felt that they were keeping information back from them.
Yeah. You know, one of them actually witnessed a DEP employee asking an oil and gas employee if there were any jobs available while they were on the site to regulate. That is one of the sad realities of public poverty, right? When the DEP inspectors are underfunded and they're not paid very much, how are they supposed to, we're supposed to ask them to stay in those jobs because it's noble? As much as it's an individual problem within the DEP, it's also what happens when we don't maintain the systems designed to protect all of us.
One of Stacey Haney's lawyers compared what's happened to the water in Amity from fracking to the lead crisis in Flint, Michigan. Only, in this case, in Pennsylvania, the federal government hasn't stepped in. What's the difference?
That the people in Amity are on private water, not public, and there are only three of them, as opposed to hundreds. And that's the difference, right there. Private water changes the law immediately. And, you know, it's easy for an outsider to come in and say, oh, you know, people's wells should be protected, they should be regulated. But this is where you get into the complex reality of life for rural people. A lot of people don't want those regulations. They're going to be expensive to meet. They're going to be arbitrary. This kind of complexity in this small instance really reveals some of the larger tensions facing America today and how we're going to resolve them between those who want more regulation, those who don't, those who have been, you know, really screwed over by regulation. I mean, in this area, as you well know, a lot of the people who support fracking are also farmers, and they are regulated to crazy levels. You know, every time a pig needs a shot, they have to have a vet come out, and that's going to cost $100. They can't drive a tractor into a stream because there are regulations. At the same time, you know, the oil and gas industry can come out and wreak havoc. And there are no regulations. There are plenty of regulations to stop them, but there are cases in which regulations fail, and this is one of those cases.
You write very lyrically about the history of this region, the frontier days and the whiskey rebellion, the coal jobs and the bust. What will this period, or how should this period in its history, be remembered?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying so. I mean, that to me is, it's so important. Not the writing per se, but the larger context of this story. Because as much as it's about, you know, a legal thriller, like the foreground narrative, like why you turn the page is what happened to Stacy and the kids. But the background narrative, what the book is really about, is what it has meant to a collection of rural Americans to pay for the energy appetites of urban Americans and how that experience has deepened the divide between rural and urban, and how the rest of us really need to pay more attention to what's happening. Like, we need to know what happens when we turn on our lights. We need to know who's paying those costs. And we don't want to know. You know, coming back to New York, where I do live, nobody wants to talk about fracking. Why? Because we're implicated, and we don't want to own our implication in these larger cycles of fossil fuel extraction, which, and I just want to be very clear, there are people within this book who have had a very positive experience with both the company and the extractive process themselves, and they also deserve to be heard and spoken to. So it's complicated. You know, how will we look back at this era? We will certainly look at the rise of citizen heroes like Stacy and her neighbors, people who stood up for what was right. There is a hopeful story here. Against the rest of it, I think it's too early to know. My fear is that once again, the region will be left with these externalized costs, right? That we will see a pattern of boom and bust, that people will be left paying the cost of this industry that was supposed to be their payday, their way out.
Eliza Griswold, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks so much for having me.
Eliza Griswold is the author of Amity and Prosperity, One Family and the Fracturing of America. And she's speaking in Washington County on June 20th and at the Pittsburgh Arts and Lecture Series on June 21st. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org. This is The Allegheny Front. I'm Kara Holsapple.